You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again from OptionAlpha.com, working every single week to make this the most popular investing podcast offered online because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you make smarter trades. So again, thank you so much for tuning in today. On today's show, we are going to be talking about short straddles or short iron butterflies, and basically trying to give you guys all the tools at your disposal to differentiate between these two types of strategies and also decide which one is best for whatever particular setup you're looking at. Now, of course, it's one and the same, right? So a short straddle is the same as a short iron butterfly in that a short iron butterfly is composed of a short straddle with outside protection. So they're one and the same. They're synthetics. They act very similar to one another in many cases, but there are little differences that we should go over that will help you. And again, the goal here is to help you determine which one to use or how I would think about using one over the other. Now, of course, there's no blanket statement here that says one is absolutely emphatically better than the other. Each have their own benefits and drawbacks, which we'll cover here in today's show. So as always, if you enjoyed these shows, let us know, give us a rating or interview. And of course, all the stuff that we're going to talk about in today's show will be over at the show notes page, optionalpha.com/show152. Again, that's just the number 152, optionalpha.com/show152. All right, so let's get into it. So the setup of each of these, I think, is important to go over really quickly in case you're not familiar with a short straddle or a short iron butterfly. But I want to go over the setup of each of them so that you understand what we're talking about. So to set up a short straddle is actually very easy, and that's where we're going to start with because it's the core of a short iron butterfly anyway. So a short straddle is comprised of a short at-the-money call option and a short at-the-money put option, typically at the exact same price. So many people would actually do a narrow straddle, in which case they would sell options that are close to one another. But the true definition of a short straddle is selling the exact same strike price, both the call and the put option. So for example, if a stock is trading at $100, you would sell the 100 strike call and the 100 strike put. If a stock is trading at $87, you would sell the 87 strike call and the 87 strike put. So basically, wherever the stock is trading right now or closest to it, you would sell that at the money call and put strike. And that's it. That basically creates your short straddle position. You're basically straddling the market with a position that's right over top of it, collecting as much option premium as possible, which then moves your break-even points out by the distance of the premium you collected. So again, to use our example, using just very simple numbers and math, if we sold the straddle at 100 when the stock was trading at 100 and we collected a $5 premium, that means that our break-even points are $5 above and $5 below the at-the-money strikes. So our break-even point on that particular type of trade setup would be $95 all the way up to $105. Now, this is sometimes confusing because people often see that a short straddle always has one contract in the money. And that's true. One contract or one side, one leg will always be in the money. But again, what's more important than the contracts being in the money is where are your break-even points? Where do you actually make or lose money? And that's determined by the credit that you received. So in our example, 95 all the way up to 105, that's our range. Because of the $5 credit, we add or subtract $5 from the at-the-money strikes. Now, short straddles are naked, undefined risk positions. So I can't stress this enough because I harp on it all the time and I know I sound like a broken record, but that means that A, you should keep your position size extremely small when trading short straddles. So 1 to 2 contracts, 3 contracts, whatever works for your account. And then B, you should keep your overall exposure to short straddle type trades small in your account as well. So it's not enough just to have a bunch of small short straddles all over the place because you still might have too much exposure to one type of trade, i.e. a naked undefined risk trade. So what I like to do is keep my exposure in a straddle position, say under 2% of risk. And then also I'll keep the number of straddles that I trade across different ticker symbols down in my account. So I won't trade everything as a short straddle. I'll deliberately try to trade some things as an iron butterfly if I want to keep a balance and keep a rein and control on margin. Because remember, margin can expand very quickly during periods of high implied volatility. So what we don't want to see is we don't want to see you guys get into a short straddle and have all of these short straddles, and then margin expands and each of them, you know, kind of have doubling or tripling or quadrupling of margin required. All right, so that's it. So it's really simple for setting up a short straddle. Sell the at the money strikes. Now, introduce the short iron butterfly. The short iron butterfly is the synthetic equivalent of a short straddle with one exception. And the only exception to everything that we just went over is that now you have to buy outside wings to define your risk and create forced protection. So whereas a short straddle would sell the inside strikes or the inside position with no outside wings or protection, an iron butterfly is the exact same inside position. So selling the at the money call at 100 and selling the at the money put at 100. But only now this time you're going to have to buy at some point an outside wing to give yourself some protection and define your risk. You could think about it as two credit spreads. You could think about it as an inside short straddle and an outside long strangle. Whatever you think about or however you decipher it in your own mind, the end result is that it creates four legs, two at the money short strikes, and then two out of the money call option and put option on either side. So again, to use our example to make it really simple, if a stock is trading at $100 to create an iron butterfly, I would again sell the 100 strike call and sell the 100 strike put. And then I might go out and buy the 110 strike call option, and I might go out and buy the 90 strike put option. So I'm buying options $10 out on either end, and that gives me a defined risk position. Now, in exchange for buying that protection, which costs money, now I have reduced my risk so that if the stock goes beyond 110 or beyond 90 to the downside, I have no additional risk. So that's the benefit of doing iron butterflies, is that they contain and control risk and margin much more efficiently than you would with a short straddle. Now, it doesn't mean that they make more money necessarily, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit and kind of the differences between them. But the trade-off here is, well, I'm going to outlay a little bit of money for those long wings on either end for protection, and in exchange, I'm going to get less risk. And so that's the trade-off. And again, this is truly what it is. It's nothing more than a trade-off. So people always write in and they're saying, Kirk, well, when do I know to trade a straddle versus an iron butterfly? Well, you could trade either one of them. They're basically synthetic equivalents of one another. But the trade-off is, you know, how much risk are you comfortable taking and what type of reward do you want to get? So if you might be more comfortable taking more risk, maybe straddles might be a little bit better for you. If you're not as comfortable, or if you're trading in an IRA, which forces you to trade defined risk, then you might trade an iron butterfly. A little bit less profit potential, costs a little bit of money to buy that outside extra wings for protection, but ultimately you have less risk. So the cost is going to reduce risk. It's going to control risk because you buy those wings. Okay, so that hopefully just at least, like I said, sets the foundation for just the beginning of how to set up each of these trades. Again, you have to understand they are one in the same. I mean, they're very, very similar to one another. They start with the same core at the money straddle position. And then the choice is just simply, do I buy the protection on the wings or do I not? So the next question that people always have on this is, okay, well, how do I price out these positions, right? So straddles are fairly easy to price out, because what you're looking for with straddles is you're looking for just generally the highest ROI, so return per unit of risk or margin put up for these positions. And we did a podcast on this where we looked at 10 different short straddles. So you can, I think we did short strangles, but it's basically the same thing. But you can look it up on the searching the podcast here, where we analyzed 10 different ones for risk and reward. But straddles are pretty easy. You basically set up a straddle in anything that you want to trade. And if you're just like blanket looking for just a brand new trade, you have nothing on, then you would go after the trade that pays the most premium per unit of risk, because they're all at the money. They're all roughly 68 to 70% probability of success trades. So get into the trade that pays the most amount of money per unit of margin risk that you have to put up. So what do I mean by this? Well, if you price out two different straddles and just use very simple math to make it easy, one straddle, straddle number A, you collect $50, but you have to put up in premium $2,000, right? You're looking at $50 divided by $2,000. So you're taking in 2.5% return on the possible risk that you're taking. So if another straddle, basically you have to put up $10,000, but you are able to collect a $500 credit, you might think to yourself, oh my God, that's a $10,000 trade. That is, you know, well, one, it could be too big for your account for sure. But if it's within the sizes for your account, the $500 that you collect is actually 5% of the $10,000, right? So now you're looking at that and you're going, okay, well, if I could collect $500 and if I could put up $10,000, that's a better ROI per unit of risk than if I did the other trade and had to do more contracts. So it's not just about how much margin is required to put up in the position. It's also about how much premium you collect as it relates to the margin. Now, I can tell you guys, again, all of this stuff still should fit into what we had talked about before in show number, I think it was 143, where we talked about the rationale behind entering new trades. So what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to say, okay, Kirk said, we just go and find the highest ROI straddles out there and get into those. No, it still has to fit into your portfolio. You still can't trade 15 different straddles because they're the highest ROI in the same sector like oil or natural gas or commodities or retail, right? So if all of the highest ROI straddles are in one sector, you don't need to be trading all of those. Pick one or two and then go for another sector that has another high ROI, right? So that's what I'm saying here is that, again, that's another way to kind of generally look at pricing. To be totally honest with you guys, though, I don't look at pricing that much. I don't spend my time like combing through 52 different straddle pricings to choose which one I'm going to go after. Generally, when implied volatility is higher, you're going to get better pricing on straddles for higher implied volatility stocks and ETFs. So a good rule of thumb is that when you look for trades and you're looking for the most premium possible per unit of risk, that generally is going to be with the highest implied volatility securities. So it's already doing the work for you if you just scan and filter by implied volatility. And then again, go back down through the checklist that we talked about in show number 143, where we kind of walk through like how we think about building new positions and how it fits into the portfolio. Now, when it comes to short iron butterflies, the same general case can be made, only now you have to think about things a little bit differently. In this case, when you look at short iron butterflies, I try to set them all up very similar to one another. And so you would look at relative pricing across, again, most short iron butterflies. So if you're going to look at two different contracts or two different tickers that you're going to trade, set up a $5 wide or a $10 wide short iron butterfly in both and see which one prices out the best. Because if you set up the exact same width in the iron butterfly, so say a $10 wide iron butterfly, if a $10 wide iron butterfly prices this amount here and this amount here, you know that per $10 of risk that you have, you could collect X amount of premium and see which one ends up being better. Now, again, this still has to fit into the overall context of what we talked about in show number 143. Yes, I'm pushing you back to that show to listen to it again, because I think it was one of the best ones that we did about the rationale behind how we enter and pick new trades, but it's still got to fit into that overall context. Now, the tricky part for sure with iron butterflies is that sometimes you have this situation where you think you should be entering a skewed position or a balanced position in an iron butterfly. And what you actually find is that option pricing is totally different on one side of the market versus the other. Have you guys ever seen that before where like the call options are really, really cheap, but the put options are very, very expensive? Well, this type of skew creates an opportunity, I think, for iron butterfly traders to be a little bit more, the word is dynamic in how they choose their long wings or long strikes. So I want to kind of go through an example here real quick because I think this will really help out. And this is a live example as we're kind of going through this right now. So this is at the time that I'm recording this. But right now I'm looking at EFA, which is a emerging market ETF, right? And EFA is trading around $61. So if I was going to looking at pricing an iron butterfly or building an iron butterfly in EFA, I would sell the $61 put and $61 call. That's pretty standard. That creates the inside short strikes. Now, if I told myself, okay, well, I always go out $5 on either end and buy protection $5 out on either end. If I went out $5 from 61 out to the 66 price point for EFA right now, the cost of those 66 call options, and I'm just talking about the top side or the higher side, you know, long protection, the cost of those call options is just $1. In fact, it's a dollar for everything above 66. 67 strike prices are a dollar, 68 are a dollar, 69 are a dollar, 70 are a dollar. Everything's a dollar. And so what the question you should be asking now is, well, okay, if it's that cheap, clearly nobody thinks that it's going to get out there, right? So now, can I come in a little bit on my call option long strike price, which then would reduce the width of that call side spread and reduce risk? And can I do that for a reasonable amount of money? And again, this is a judgment call, but I'm just talking through how I would do it. If I look at the 65 strike call options, which are not $5 out on the call side, they're now just $4 out. Remember, we sold the at the money strikes at 61. So if I look at the $65 call options, those are priced at $3. So think about this for a second and really kind of really focus on this. If you're distracted or you're not paying attention, please pay attention to this. The original call side spread was $5 wide and costs us $1. So for $500 of risk, we can protect that for basically $1. We can cap our risk at $500 on the call side, okay? Not including the credits from when we sold the at the money strikes, just the width of the call side strike. $500 of risk, we can protect that amount for a dollar. Pretty cool, right? Now, if we go into the 65 strike call options, we can protect the $400 of risk, right? So now our risk is capped at $400, which is the width of the call side strikes. We can protect $400 for $3. So if you think about it on a like unit of risk versus how much you're paying for it, we cut our risk by $100 and it cost us $2. Does that make sense? Like, hopefully you're following along. I'm saying that like you guys are sitting right in front of me because that's how I think about it. Like I'm talking to one, you guys one-on-one. But does that make sense? In this case, just being a little bit flexible and dynamic as we're building out these iron butterflies and just kind of asking these rational questions. Well, like if it only costs a dollar, can I, you know, get maybe less protection for a little bit more money? And does that make sense? In this case, we reduced our risk by $100 and it cost us $2. So why wouldn't we do that, right? Like, yes, the starting point of our analysis was to look $5 out on either end. Maybe sometimes you start looking $10 out on either end. But ask yourself rationally, once you start looking at those strike prices, what am I getting for this protection that I'm buying? So now, okay, let's just keep going. Well, like, okay, well, now we know that we can cut our risk by $100 for $2 extra. Can we keep doing that? Because if we can keep doing that, we can keep moving the call side strike down. So now we look at the 64 strike call options. And now the 64 strike call options are $42. And this is like literally right as I'm doing this right now. So now there's a big difference, right? Now we're paying a lot of money to protect ourselves for the extra $100 of protection. So now we reduce our risk by $100, but it costs us another $40 to reduce our risk, right? So it's not as efficient to do that. So in this case, we might actually buy the 65 long options, which are only about $2. The 64 long call options don't make sense. They're $42. The 66 or anything above that is just too cheap and we don't need to go that far out. We're not doing ourselves any favors by going out that far other than just creating more risk and not actually having anything to show for it. So I know that this was a little bit different to kind of go through on a podcast, but hopefully that really makes sense because as you're building out these iron butterflies, it's not enough just to say, okay, I always do these at $5 wide. Well, maybe the call side is $4 wide and the put side is $5 wide. Sometimes we've had the put side that's $8 wide and the call side is $3 wide, right? It just has to make sense for what you're doing. As a general rule of thumb, what you can use as general targets to start this analysis, and this is what's really important, around a 10 delta on either end is a great starting point. So if you look at a 10 delta on the put side and you look at a 10 delta on the call side, that could be a good starting point to start this analysis. Ironically enough, for EFA right now, around a 10 delta is the 65 call options for EFA. So exactly the ones that we were targeting. The 10 delta put options on EFA right now are the 54 strike put options. So these are about $7 below the market. That's where the 10 delta lives. And those put options are worth $15. So we might actually go after those put options that are $7 below versus just the standard $5 below. Okay. So again, a 10 delta is a decent place to start looking for this. And this will help kind of even things out across different price points, different stocks, different ETFs, you know, high price stocks, low price stocks, et cetera, right? So start looking at about a 10 delta, but again, be smart, be rational about it. You know, come in. I like to pay, I don't know, anywhere around $10 to $15 for outside wings, depending on how much money I'm collecting, right? So if I collect a couple hundred dollars, I'm okay paying $10 to $15 for the outside wings and defining the risk. And I think it's a decent trade-off, okay? So hopefully that helps us like setting some sort of guidelines or benchmarks that you can start using for analysis. All right, so now we've gone over the short straddle and the short iron butterfly. We've talked about what they are, how to build them, maybe kind of how to maneuver pricing a little bit, especially with the iron butterfly. Now the question becomes, and what we're going to be focusing on now is, what are the trade-offs between the two? When do I use one versus the other? And I want to try to walk through a bunch of different scenarios and kind of tell you what I would do in different, you know, case studies or different examples as a means to help out. And I think this will help out because this is what I do on coaching, and it seems like it helps out for a lot of people when I do this on a coaching session. Before I do that, though, I want to go through some of the research that we've done using the Profit Matrix report. And I'm just going to be talking about some of the stats that we found and we know to be true. So we knew that this was probably the case. It was reconfirmed once we finished up our Profit Matrix research last year. One thing that you have to understand, and let's say some blanket guidelines for the differences in performance, a straddle versus an iron butterfly. And I think that's really the important part to understand is that they're very much the same setup, but they perform a little bit differently. As a general rule, here's the performance differences. Short straddles versus short iron butterflies make more money. So when you are focused on purely making the most amount of money possible, that is more than likely going to come from a short straddle position. So short straddles make more money than short iron butterflies. And again, just to kind of prove this point and to back this up with facts and data, when we look at our Profit Matrix research and we looked at the top 10 short straddles versus the top 10 iron butterflies. So this is truly like if you were trading the absolute best setup and the best type of short straddle, the best time, frequency, profit taking, stop loss, etc. The best short straddle makes an annual CAGR of 3.64%, which is pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty good compounded growth rate. So short straddles make pretty good money. In fact, they make some of the best money. The best iron butterfly, on the other hand, makes an annual CAGR of 1.69%. So you definitely take a haircut in return for doing an iron butterfly. Now, what's the trade-off, right? And so again, just as a blanket statement, straddles make more money than iron butterflies. So everyone would say to themselves initially, well, okay, well, why shouldn't I just trade straddles over iron butterflies? Well, there's always a give and a take in the options market or any investment market for that matter. So you can't just get higher performance without giving up something in return. So what do you give up? And generally what you give up with straddles is you give up the fluctuation in your account or maximum drawdowns and like what I just call like peaks and valleys. So when you trade straddles, you potentially have the opportunity to go through some potentially bigger drawdowns because you're trading naked, undefined risk positions. And that's really all it comes down to. So when you think about trading straddles, it's really cool to say, yes, I'm going to make more money trading straddles, with the understanding that you're going to have to go through some ebbs and flows and ups and downs on the way to getting there. And in many cases, the short straddles, like from our research, the top short straddle that you can trade, like absolutely the best one that you can trade performance-wise, right, actually ended up having a 55% drawdown at some point. So again, this is what I tell people is that one is not different than the other, in other than the sense that when you trade straddles, you get a higher return and make more money, but in exchange, you give up the stability of your portfolio. So now trading straddles, you go through many more ups and downs than you would otherwise. The top iron butterfly, on the other hand, went only through a 42% drawdown. Now that's, to me, that's not that big of a difference, right? But I mean, it's still significant. It's a 13% extra drawdown when you don't really need to do it. But the question becomes, did you want to give up that return for that in exchange for that drawdown? Now, some people might say yes, some people might say no. I'm not here to judge you either way. I'm just here to show you what the differences are between these two. But again, iron butterflies, because you are capping your risk and you're using some of the premium that you had from selling the inside strikes to buy that outside protection, Your return goes down because you use up some premium to buy insurance, but that insurance pays off to some degree because you have lower fluctuations in your portfolio. Your drawdown was only 42% versus a 55% drawdown at any one point. So it's really different. The other thing that you'll see more often than not is that short straddles have a much higher win rate. So across the board, what we see is that short straddles have a much higher win rate, mostly because it's pure option selling. So you don't have to hold the trades as long. You have shorter durations in the trades and you see higher win rates. Our top short straddle from our profit matrix won at 70.22%. The top iron butterfly won at 66.8%. So not that big of a difference. I think these two were very similar setups anyway. So many iron butterflies are actually going to win at like 65, 66%, somewhere around there, if you set them up generally the way that we do for trading. So it's still good. You're still above 50 for sure, but you might not hit 70 or 72%. That's okay. Again, that's a trade-off. Like, you're going to win less often, but when you lose, you're going to be capped in your risk and you won't have to take as much risk when you lose. So again, this is the trade-off between these two that you have to understand, these dynamics between returns and risk and, you know, holding periods, long versus short, win rates higher versus lower. Not to say that anyone is better or worse than the other. It's just understanding the makeup of the portfolio. So many people often come to me and they're like, Kirk, I just want to make the most amount of money possible. And I say, well, are you comfortable going through a 50% drawdown? They're like, no way, absolutely not. I'm like, well, that's how you potentially have to make the most amount, could make the most amount of money possible, is you have to use a strategy that at some point could go through a 50% drawdown. And again, we do try to reduce risk and minimize risk as much as possible. But at some point, you might run into a sequence of returns that we talked about before in another podcast. We talked about sequencing risk. You might run through a sequence of returns that just creates a big drawdown, and there's nothing you could potentially do about it. You could probably adjust and minimize risk for sure, but you know, you might run through that situation. You've got to be prepared for that on your path to making as much money as humanly possible. Okay. So having said all of that, I want to talk through kind of how I think generally about the differences between these two and kind of using them in trading. And I say generally because, again, there's a lot that goes into it besides just, you know, like a plain vanilla, you know, kind of cut and dry, black and white, like always use it in this environment versus never use it in this environment. I think that rarely happens, right? So as a general rule, I don't like to use straddles on stocks that are over, say, $100 or ETFs that are over $100. And I say this as a general rule because we have done it before and it's okay to do it. But that to me is like kind of a price point at which I look at it and I say, okay, it's got to really make sense for me to want to do this. And the reason I think that that's the starting point is because if you have something that's over, say, $100 in price point, say, you know, like Apple's $169 or Google, if you're going to trade Google, is, you know, $1,000 stock, then the margin to hold a straddle is insane. It's just so high to hold a straddle because of the stock price, because of the underlying equity price on the contracts that you're trading. And so that in of itself can sometimes make those straddles almost unbearable, or to some degree can make them very, very inefficient to trade. So now if you're trading something over $100, generally, you might want to opt for going for the iron butterfly just to control risk. If you're trading something under $100, then the question really becomes, to me, implied volatility. So most of the time when implied volatility is high, I will choose to do more of a straddle type trade, whether that's a pure straddle or a very, very wide iron butterfly. So insanely cheap wings to kind of mimic a straddle as much as possible because of implied volatility. And I'll try to err on doing more of the pure option selling strategies when I know that implied volatility is high, because we know from our research that's when we generate the best win rates, the biggest credits, the, you know, the highest return on capital trades, the lowest drawdowns. It all comes during high implied volatility. In fact, like the recent moves that we had in late November, early December in the markets, like those were wonderful period, like a wonderful period for us to sell premium, because the market really didn't go anywhere. Lots of gyrations really didn't go anywhere. And we were selling a lot of premium, a lot of naked premium in some cases, doing straddles and strangles and all the like. So to me, again, if it's high implied volatility, I'll choose to kind of lean towards the short straddle or very wide iron butterflies. Now, that being said, when the market has low implied volatility, I am much more a fan of trading iron butterflies than probably anything else. The reason I like doing this is twofold, and I'll try to explain this hopefully in as clear terms as possible. We know that straddles and strangles are some of the most ultimate strategies for option selling. The problem with those is that during a period of low implied volatility can spike at any point. And as an option seller, that is our kryptonite. That's what kills us, is a spike in implied volatility. So how do you get potentially the best of both worlds? Which is, you still want to be selling pure premium, but you also want to protect yourself in case there's a spike in volatility. And so what I like to do is I like to do iron butterflies during low implied volatility times, because if the stock has low implied volatility, it's probably going to stay pretty much range bound. So I want to sell as much premium as I can. So I do the inside straddle, and then I choose deliberately always to add the outside wings fairly far out, but not insanely far out. Like we had walked through earlier, I won't add it for a dollar, but for $2 or $5 or $10, I'll add these wings to cap my risk. And now I know that if we have this huge black swan event and margin goes through the roof, I know that I'm going to have defined risk on all of these positions that I'm trading. So if you actually go back through and kind of research and watch some of the trades that I do during low implied volatility times, I mean, it's like almost always iron condors and iron butterflies, because I want to collect as much premium as possible, but I also want to cap my risk in a huge move up in implied volatility across the whole market. And that's worked out really well for us. Now, that also means that during these time periods where there's low implied volatility and there's not a lot of good trades to be had for option sellers, that means that we grind away at our premium, you know, that we do like 1, 2, 3%. Like, we're going to grind away during these time periods because we don't know when it's going to go away. We don't know how long it's going to last. So that's the trade-off that we have. But I would much rather do that, grind away for some slow, steady profits, than to have a bunch of positions on making 4, 5, 6% and then have a huge event like what happened in natural gas and, you know, blew up another hedge fund in the space. I'd rather avoid that scenario and have lower returns during low implied volatility than to have myself exposed to all of this high implied volatility that could happen at any point. And so that's how I think about it. So again, during high implied volatility, I err towards or lean towards trading more aggressively towards short straddles and very wide iron butterflies. And then during low implied volatility, we usually just stick with the iron butterflies and still do them fairly wide, but you just naturally have to bring in the wings because the premium is low across the board. And we just, you know, we grind it out during those time periods. You know, you're just kind of grinding out the trades and waiting for those better trading opportunities to plow into some more premium. So hopefully this helps out. Again, like I said, there's no like one type of trade where I'm like, oh, I'm always going to make it this way and I'm never going to make it that way. It's very much a judgment call because they are so similar and you just have to understand the trade-offs between the two. So in either case, hopefully this podcast helped out. I know we get a lot of questions on this. I'm sure our support team will be happy that this podcast is out because now they can send people that way if you have questions on choosing between short straddles or short iron butterflies. So you can get all of the details, like I said, on today's show by heading over to optionalpha.com/show152. Again, that's just the number optionalpha.com/show152. All right. So before we get into the trader Q&A segment, I wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to one of our members in the community who left us a rating and a review over on iTunes. So as always, we like to read these out just to let you guys know we're reading them. We appreciate it. And we definitely appreciate you guys' time to listen and rate and review our show. So AM is the username and it's just like AM. And I don't know if this is their phone number or their social, but it's a bunch of letters. But their title of their review was, "It actually works." They said, "If you're serious about learning to trade options in a way that objectively makes sense, then get started. Between the podcast and the free training on the website and other things, I've made serious progress towards my goal of better returns and a stable income stream." So thank you. I appreciate it very much. And as always, if you guys enjoyed the podcast, the best thing you can do is head on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Google or wherever you listen to and leave us a rating and a review. All right, so let's get into the Trader Q&A segment.
And now our favorite part of the show, Trader Q&A, where we ask a question from one of our current members about options trading. Got a question you'd like to ask Kirk to answer live on the air? Just head on over to optionalpha.com/ask and hit the record button to leave a message. That's optionalpha.com/ask. And now, here's today's question.
Oh, hey, Kirk. This is Brett from Florida. a recent and happy lifetime member, in constant awe of the quality, educational content, and trades you generate every day. I am looking forward to the automatic trading app for application from Option Alpha. But here's my question, and I hope it can help. I trade iron condors and iron butterflies inside my IRA account for tax efficiency. Buying and selling is straightforward, of course, but adjustments are a nightmare, especially for the short calls. Any suggestions on doing that today, or is this somewhat addressed by your new application? Looking forward to hearing about this in the future. Thanks very much again, Kurt. Bye for now.
All right, Brettman, thank you so much for submitting your question today and for being a member as always. So yeah, I understand that adjustments for iron condors and iron butterflies are tough and a nightmare. And what I would say is that with these, you have to understand, and this is a great question for today's show, you have to understand that by doing an iron butterfly or an iron condor, you're pre-evaluating and pre-defining your risk on trade entry. So unlike a straddle or a strangle, which you might have to adjust more frequently because of its undefined risk nature, iron condors and iron butterflies do not need to be adjusted as much. In fact, they don't need to be adjusted at all. You could use the lazy trader mentality and let them go all the way to expiration, and you'd still do okay. So adjustments can definitely help, as so long as they reduce risk and you can roll for credits, et cetera, that we've talked about. But they don't need to be adjusted as much because they already are built in with protection. They come with airbags, basically, right? With those long contracts. So the tough part is, well, when do you go inverted, and when do you roll one side versus another, and when you roll strikes? And that all depends on different scenarios. But here's my thought process on this. I would always choose to move the unchallenged side closer, whether it's an iron condor or an iron butterfly. And if you can't roll just the single contract closer, so the single short call option closer, I think in your case, then roll the entire spread closer. So if you have a $5 wide spread, move the whole $5 wide spread down $2, right? So you'd move both contracts at the same time, and that should be better for brokers and should not be as much of a nightmare. And again, if you're trading iron butterflies, then you have to go through the inversion process, and going inverted can be a little bit difficult as well because you have to keep track of all of the credits that you took in on the inversion. Now, we did talk about inversion in depth in show number 114. So if you go back to podcast show number 114, we talked about managing inverted positions. And what seemingly is difficult is now actually pretty easy if you think about it. So go back through and review that one too, which should help out. The last part of your question on just the auto trading. Yes, the auto trading platform, once we have it rolled out in all stages, will be able to do adjustments. So once we have it rolled out and we kind of release different features, one of the features that we've earmarked on the roadmap is the ability to pre-template in adjustment triggers. So once the trade gets to a certain profit point or a certain loss point or a certain delta or percentage, then an adjustment can be automatically triggered by the bots. So yes, this is something that we've already been, you know, thinking about. We already have scripts and kind of built out and are just working towards that level with features. So hopefully that helps out as always. So if you guys want to get your question answered here on the podcast or live on Facebook, as we've been doing every single week, again, like Brett did, please head on over to optionalpha.com/ask and click the big red button in the middle of the screen and leave me a private voicemail. Again, there's no software to download or install. It's very easy to do. You can do it in 30 seconds, a minute. Just leave your question and we'll get it queued up here for the next podcast. All right, let's get into the closing bell segment where I'm going to discuss a new trade that we're making right now.
Now, the closing bell. Find out which stocks we're looking at right now, trades we're making, and hear our game plan moving forward.
All right, so a new trade that we're making today is in IWM. And the reason that we're making this trade, and again, this is at the time that I'm recording this podcast, this by the time that this goes out, would have been already done by now. But the reason that I'm getting into this trade in IWM is because, frankly, our portfolio needs a little bit of bearish exposure. So as we've been going through December here, we've actually had a lot of neutral to bullish type trades, which we've been able to take off. What we don't have a lot of right now is we don't have a lot of positions that are pure bearish plays. We need a little bit more bearish exposure in case the market continues to go down. So for IWM, we are selling the bearish call credit spread in IWM, which is selling the 150 calls and buying the 155 call options for a $103 credit. Now, again, in our case, we need this position because it gives us good exposure to the broad indexes. It's a high implied volatility setup, and we need some bearish exposure in our portfolio. So if we did not need bearish exposure, we could do the put credit spread. If we were totally neutral and we just wanted more neutral positions, we could do the iron butterfly around this price point as well. But right now we're doing the out of the money 150, 155 credit call spread on IWM. This set up about the 28 or so delta, roughly around a 30 delta on the call side. So we have a little bit of wiggle room between where IWM is right now and where it could go. And this is good. Like, we're okay. I mean, if we lose on this position, we would have made a lot of money on other positions. So for us, it's much more of a balancing act for our portfolio to get some exposure in this direction versus anything else. But again, if you guys want to follow along on some of the trades that we're doing and all of the strategy calls that we have, just check out optionalpha.com/upgrade. That's where we have all the info on everything that we are doing moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything: free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.
All right, I truly hope you guys enjoyed today's show, and as always, got at least one thing out of it that you can apply right now to make you a smarter, more profitable trader and investor. As always, you can get additional resources, links mentioned in the show, and related video training from today's show by going to optionalpha.com/show152. Again, that's just the number 152, optionalpha.com/152. And until next time, happy trading.